Before we look into God's Word this morning, I want to ask a couple of questions. First question is, what is a great hindrance to the cause of Christ? Another way of asking that is what is a great hindrance to our bearing fruit for Christ as a church? A second question is this, how does the lost world react to a Christian's behavior, especially if that behavior is less than admirable or less than Christ-like? Now, a story is to get into God's Word. Man went into a fried chicken franchise to pick up a box of chicken for himself and the young lady with him. Inadvertently, the manager of the store handed the man the box in which he had placed the financial proceeds of the previous day instead of the box of chicken that the man thought he was getting. You see, the manager was going to go to the bank, and he had disguised the deposit by putting it in the box. Well, the fellow took the box, went back to the car, and he and the young lady drove away. When they got to the park that they were headed to and opened the box, they discovered they had a box full of money instead of a box full of chicken. The man said, "Man, wow." But they took it back. They took it back. What would you have done? That is a very vulnerable situation for most people. What would you have done? But the man and the woman get back into the car and return to the restaurant and give the money back to the manager. Well, the manager was elated, wouldn't you have been? He was so pleased, he asked the man to stick around. He was going to call the newspaper, have the man's picture taken, and asked them to do a story on him. He was the most honest guy around. The man's picture would be integrity in a picture. Could your picture be taken for you being a picture of integrity? Are you integrity in a picture? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 42. We're going to look at the life story, part of the life story of Joseph. Genesis chapter 42, verse 8. Joseph. But Joseph had recognized his brothers, although they did not recognize him. Joseph, remembering the dreams which he had about them, and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to look at the undefended parts of our land." Then they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." Yet he said to them, "No, but you have come to look at the undefended parts of our land." But they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers in all, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no longer alive." Joseph said to them, "It is as I said to you, you are spies. By this you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go from this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you that he may get your brother while you remain confined, that your words may be tested whether there is truth in you. But if not, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. A person of integrity tells the truth in every situation. Be a person of integrity. Well, you know the backstory of Joseph. Joseph grows up. He's one of 12 brothers. There are at least three wives involved. His father's three wives, and there are the 12, and he starts having these dreams. And he has these dreams, and he tells his brothers, and you just kind of picture Joseph when he was in the dream having and the dream telling stage of being 8, 9 years old, when you thought you knew everything. And his older brothers said, "We're going to show you." And so at some point, after all these dreams, they throw him down into a pit, and they have a little conference afterwards and says, "No, we better not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery." And so off he goes to Egypt. And years go by. And so now we're looking at maybe, you know, Joseph may be in his early 20s. But the challenge for us is to be a person of integrity. And remember that integrity is little distance between what you say you believe and how you actually live. Famine now has hit everywhere. Not only in Egypt, Joseph's had these dreams, the 7 years, and he goes through all that with Pharaoh and all that plays out with that. He's had all these dreams, and famine has also hit back up into Israel. Well, Jacob and the family are getting hungry. Everything's running out. And so they go to Egypt because they've heard that Egypt has food. So Jacob sends the ten brothers down to buy food. And Joseph recognizes them. But for whatever reason, the ten don't recognize him. They probably never had the thought that this is our brother. And so here they are defending or in front of him. And so Joseph begins trying to maybe test them. He begins to accuse them. Allegation begins to put allegations forth. You're spies. You've come to see the undefended areas. You're going to try to take over. And so the ten tell the truth about who they are and why they're in Egypt. We're sons of one man. One brother's at home. One is no more. They're telling the truth. So later then, Joseph releases 9 of the 10 to return home, and he ends up putting their money back in their sacks, and they don't realize it until they're about halfway home. But after a while, that food runs out, and they come back, and when they get back, they tell the steward of all that had happened and bring the original amount of money and then more money. And so it was that they told the truth in every situation. There's an old episode of The People's Court. You remember that, Judge Wapner? Well, there was the plaintiff makes an accusation against a stranger in front of the judge there about what was done to her car. The accused insisted he didn't do it, and he maintained that he was there only because he was easy prey for her insurance company. That was all it was. It was just easy prey. So they finally ended up going outside to see what really had happened. And the judge has the two cars get parked side by side, and it's proven that the plaintiff's car was everything was just the right height and just the right shape and all that if you slammed the door out hard enough, you could have made the dent that was in the person's car. And so the case was settled to everyone's satisfaction except for the defendant. He kept insisting his innocence with sighs and shrugs, and all the way through the sentencing, he just kept sighing and shrugging and saying, "I didn't do it." Maybe the problem was that had he told the truth, he would have exposed the lie that he had been telling about himself, to himself, that he was a straight-up kind of guy who does to others as he would be done to, except, of course, maybe when he's angry for a good cause. Do you tell the truth in every situation? Some like to identify gray areas and exploit them, knowing all the time the intent is to do something dishonest. There's a day coming up in a couple, 3 months that'll probably be more lies told on that one day than all the other days just about put together. You know what day I'm talking about? I'm talking about April 15th, which I think this year is actually supposed to be April 17th. There'll be more lies told because people will figure out where the gray areas are and exploit them. Are you one of those kind of people? Why don't you tell the truth in every situation? Maybe you feel you have good enough cause sometimes to not tell the truth. Someone hurt you, your pride, and whatever your reaction is, it's justified, isn't it? Well, they hurt me. I can do whatever. But that's the kind of behavior that hurts the cause of Christ. If we talk about wanting to bear fruit, if we really do as an individual, and then as a church, come to the realization that we need to be in Christ, that we need to know Him, and then because our desire is to bear fruit, then we're going to get past the situations that we're justified in doing things. The lost world watches believers and dismisses Christ on account of believers not telling the truth in every situation. I came across an article in World Magazine entitled, "Truth Be Told, Why Are People Prone to Tell Instinctive, Obvious Lies?" The article says that falsehoods can be divided into two major classes, those that are deliberate and those that are not. Of the deliberate kind, some are told for evil purposes and some are not. In the not deliberate category, some lies are simply misjudgments. But there's another lie that belongs in a category of its own, undeliberate, in the sense that it's not deliberated. It is, in fact, so easy and so natural as to feel instinctive. Self-absorbed people do that. Like the young man before Judge Wapner and possibly you. Maybe you don't think about telling the truth when confronted with your character flaws. You've deceived yourself, so out comes the lie. Can I tell you, you can tell the truth in every situation. Are you integrity in a picture? A person of integrity takes responsibility for his behavior. Let's keep reading in verse 18. Now Joseph said to them on the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in your prison. But as for the rest of you, go, carry grain for the famine of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words may be verified, and you will not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, "Truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore this disaster has come upon us." Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Now comes the reckoning for his blood." They did not know, however, that Joseph understood, for there was an interpreter between them. He turned away from them and wept. But when he returned to them and spoke to them, he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. And thus it was done for them. Be a person of integrity. Integrity is when there is little distance between what you say and what you do. Joseph detains the 10. Then he sends 9 of them back for Benjamin. Before they leave, the 10 look at each other. They recognize the connection between what they did years ago and what was happening to them now. They realize that everything that was happening was because of their treatment of Joseph. And they own up to their past mistakes. This trial was God's judgment. Joseph had pleaded with them not to kill him and not to send him off into slavery. And Reuben does an "I told you so" for what good that does. Does it ever do you any good to do an "I told you so"? No, usually not. Usually not. But he does. And Joseph at this point has to turn away, hearing their admission. He was smart enough, he had set up the situation well enough, using an interpreter, even though he understood every word they said, because he needed to make sure what was going on in their lives. And so they go back home, the 9 brothers. And Jacob initially resists letting Benjamin go back with him to Egypt, and Reuben then in chapter 42 takes responsibility for Benjamin's safety, and then later in chapter 43, Judah does the same. They took responsibility for their behavior. It was 1945, just months after the World War II had ended. American newspapers reported that forces in Japan had destroyed something very valuable, something very, very needed for the rebuilding of the country. And instead of trying to cover it up, the officers in charge just said, "This is what we did." They just told the truth. And surprised by the honesty, the newspapers quickly dropped the story. And that's what the general in charge finally concluded. He said, "Honest errors openly admitted are sooner forgiven." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Do you openly admit your errors? Do you take responsibility for your behavior? Or would you rather take part in our national victim mentality, always blaming someone or something else for your situation? Have you been listening too much now that is really just behavior, and lack of control is now a disease, like a cold? You can't help it always if you catch the cold. But now we have stuff that we're labeling diseases that's really behavior, decisions. Think back to an incident in your life where you said to someone, or at least thought, "You made me do this." If you've ever said that, you aren't taking responsibility for your behavior. And if that is your mindset, then repentance and forgiveness is impossible. The lost world turns away from Christ when believers do not take responsibility for their behavior. It's one thing to do wrong. It's quite another not to take ownership of it. And if your bent is calling the sin in your life a disease, you're not taking responsibility. If your marriage is falling apart because your pride won't allow you to meet your spouse's need for love, then you're not taking responsibility. If your kids are out of control because you're too preoccupied, then you're not taking your responsibility to enforce discipline. You can live a life of obedience to Christ and bear fruit. You can. His grace is sufficient. Are you a picture of integrity? A person of integrity trusts God to work situations out. Let's read a little more. Verse 26. "So they loaded their donkeys," this is the brothers, "with their grain and departed from there." They're headed back to Egypt. "As one of them opened his sack to give his donkey," no, they're headed home, I'm sorry. "As one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he saw his money, and behold, it was in the mouth of his sack. Then he said to his brothers, 'My money has been returned, and behold, it is even in my sack.' And their hearts sank, and they turned, trembling to one another, saying, 'What is this that God has done to us?'" Skip over to chapter 43, verses 11 to 15. They're back home. "Then their father Israel said to them, 'If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best products of the land in your bags and carry down to the man as a present, a little balm and a little honey, aromatic gum and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and arise, return to the man, and may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, so that he will release to you your other brother in Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved.' So the men took this present, and they took double the money in their hand and Benjamin. Then they arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph." Be a person of integrity. Integrity is little distance between what you say and what you do. Joseph sends the nine home with the food they need plus all their money. They don't realize it until they're about halfway home. And one of them stops to feed the animals. And there's the money. There's the money. After they find it and then telling the other brothers, they all become frightened and discouraged. Their hearts sank. They trembled in fear. They were asking, what is God doing? They get back home. The situation gets grim again. They run out of food. Jacob realizes that he has no choice. He sends them back with Benjamin. Take the money back. Double the money. Take back the original amount plus double what it will cost. Take gifts. Return to the man. May God grant you compassion. And he says, we will trust God to work it out. There was a businessman who had been struggling with his business because he felt like he owned it. And one Sunday he was at church and he just felt the Lord say, it is my business, just let me have it. And the man did. He just let the Lord have the business. He said, Lord, I'll work for you, but it's not my business any longer. Well, that night he got a call about 2 in the morning. His place of business was on fire. Everything had changed. He drove down. He was rather calm. He realized how calm he was. As he stood there watching the place go up in flames, he was sort of smiling to himself. One of his cohorts came up to him, noticed the man's calm demeanor, and began questioning him. Don't you know what's happening? Don't you care? It's burning up. And the man replied, I know. It's no problem, though. Yesterday morning, I gave the company to the Lord. And if he wants to burn it up, that's his business. Are you trusting the Lord this morning with everything because that's his business? Are you trusting God to work out the situations in your life? Or are you worrying? Don't let that hand go up too high now when I mention that word worry. There is something in that transfer of ownership that is quite freeing. And that's what you and I are called to do. Because there are going to be situations in front of us this coming year that we want to work out. And at some point we know that we have to push forward and we don't know which way to go. And we're going to have to trust that the Lord knows what's going on. And that he's going to work it out for his glory and for our good. Are you trusting the Lord with everything? Yes, we ought to pray about them. But we are to then trust God and let him work the situations out. We are to keep seeking after Jesus. I love that passage that Blake read this morning. Paul has lived the bulk of his life. Before Christ, he was as religious could be. When he came to Christ, he said, I count it all garbage. And what strikes me about that passage is he didn't say, oh Lord, I just want to go on one more mission trip. That's not what he said. He didn't say, oh Lord, if I could just see one more person come to know you, and that's admirable, but that's not what he said. He said, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord Jesus. And that's what you and I need to be about. And then let God take care of everything else. How has the Lord worked in your life? How has he worked? When the manager of the fast food restaurant suggested to the man the idea of calling the newspaper, the man's immediate reply was, oh no, don't do that. When the manager said, well, why not? The man said, well, you see, I'm married and the woman I'm with is not my wife. If someone wanted to take your picture for being a person of integrity, would you have to decline? Do you tell the truth in every situation? Every situation. Even if it hurts. Do you take responsibility for your actions? Or do you try to justify and rationalize yourself? Do you trust God to work things out? Even the unseen and unforeseen things. Are you a person of integrity?